Shalom to all. Today's office moment seed afternoon chesed. We're starting Nun Zayin Amud Beis about two lines up from the bottom with a quote from the Mishnah. Shemir Chinam Eder Nishba Vachulu. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Mirim Sar Basir Yaakov Maisha Hernish Shama Should Have an Aliyah and Lili Nishmas Bias Vyantid Rabbi Asher Anshol His Nishama Should Have an Aliyah. As well as remember, the Mishnah had mentioned various things that are not subject to Ayna and other halachas as well. And two of these were related to Shemirim, namely a Shemir Chinam of one of these things doesn't need to swear, and a Shemir Sachar of one of these doesn't need to pay if they were stolen or lost. And first, focus on the Shemir Chinam part. The Gemara asks, how could we say this? For a minute, we have a stira. The Mishnah Masechet Shkalim talks about a whole group of people's shkalim that were being sent to the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, each year, every male of certain age was required to give machzah shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, and these were used to purchase karbanos sibur, and all these shkalim were deposited in a lishka, a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, and three times during the year, there was trumas halishka, shkalim were removed to purchase these karbanos, and when the animals were bought with this money, it's considered as if every had contributed to these animals, even if their particular shkalim weren't removed yet. And so here we're discussing if shkalim were sent with a shliach, but they were lost or stolen on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Trumas Halishka was done, the senders of these shkalim still have a chilek in the karbanos. The Mishnah tells us as follows: B'nei Yerusha Shalcha Shaklein, the people of a city, they sent their shkalim with a messenger, V'nigvayisha Avdu, and they're stolen or lost. Imishin et Ramah Truma, if they found that they were stolen or lost after the Trumas Halishka was already taken, so the messengers that were taking these shkalim have to make a shvua to the Gizbar, to the treasure of the Beis HaMikdash. V'imla, but if it was discovered before the Trumas Halishka was taken, Nishban le'Bnei Yair, so the messengers swear to the Bnei Yair, U'Bnei Yair Shakan Achem Tachlein, and the people of a city have to give new shkalim in the place of the ones that were lost or stolen. Nimtu, let's say they were found, or the ganavim decide to return the shkalim they stole, but the new ones and the original ones are considered machsa shekel, meaning the people of the city don't get refunded for having to give another shekel, and it does not count for next year either. Now, bottom line, what do we see from here? That the shomer of the shkalim has to make a shvua, and that's a shomer chinam on something that's hektish, and it's clearly not like our Mishnah that says shomer chinam ein nishba. So Mar Shmuel answers, over here, we're talking about a shomer sachar. He's actually getting paid for bringing these shkalim. And when we say they have to make a shvua, they're making a shvua not to protect themselves from paying, rather in order to collect their wages. They were getting paid a certain amount of money to bring the shkalim from this city to the Beis HaMikdash. They got lost or stolen along the way, and they're making a shvua in order to get paid, even though they didn't really do their job, they still are getting paid. Why are we saying in one of the situations that they would make a shvua to the Gizbar, to the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash? If we're talking about a shliach who's getting paid, they should make a shvua to the Bnei Ha'ir in all situations, because the Bnei Ha'ir that's paying the shliach and not the Gizbar. So Amar Rabba, he answers, Nishbarin leBnei Ha'ir b'mamid Gizbarin. The Mishnah means to say that they're swearing to the Bnei Ha'ir in front of the Gizbarim, k'yechadloi nechshedenu, so that they're not suspected of foul play, v'yinamir alternatively, k'yechadloi likulu paishem, so they shouldn't be called that they were just negligent, and that's why they're swearing in front of the Gizbarim. But in Echnami, they're actually swearing to the Bnei Ha'ir, again, in order just to collect their wages, as it wouldn't have a steer between our Mishnah and that Mishnah Mesach Shkalim. As we hold on 1 second, v'anignu v'yisha avdu katani. The Mishnah says that the shkalim were either stolen or lost. And we know that Shomer Sachar is chayiv if the thing that he was watching was stolen or lost. Over here, we understand that they don't have to pay, because we said in our Mishnah as well that a Shomer Sachar over Hektish doesn't have to pay if it gets stolen or lost. So it's fine that the Shomer Sachar, who's bringing the shkalim of the people of the city to the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't have to pay if they get stolen or lost. But Igramli Lav said they should at least lose their schar. Why are we saying that they're allowed to swear to get paid for doing a job they never did? So Rabba answers, Nignavu, what does it mean that they were stolen? Belista Mizuyan. His money was stolen by armed robbers, and that's considered an Ines. And Avdu, what does it mean that they were lost? Shetavas Yunasabayam, that the ship they were traveling in sunk at sea, and that's also considered an Ines, and this is not something that they would have to pay for, and that's why they would still collect their wages, even though they didn't really finish the job. Now, this is all Shmuel's answer of how there's no steer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah of their Mesach Shkalim. Rabbi Yechan gives a different answer. Hamani, who's that Mishnah like? Reb Shimoni. It's according to Reb Shimon, who argues with our Mishnah. The Amr Reb Shimon says, Kachim Shchai Bachar Usan, when we're dealing with Kachim that the owner is responsible for, Yashlan Ayna, there is a din of Ayna, Vinishban Alayin, and one would have to make a shvu on it. So the reason why there's no steer between that Mishnah and our Mishnah is because that Mishnah is Reb Shimon, and our Mishnah is not Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon argues with our Mishnah. Asking her, hold on. This makes sense. Before the Trumas Halishka was taken, it's still considered to be in the responsibility of the owners, and therefore shvu would have to be made. But Mishanismar Truma, once the Trumas Halishka was already taken, it's not in the responsibility of the owners anymore, and therefore Kachim She'enechai Bachar Yusan Enu. It's considered Kachim She'enechai Bachar Yusan. And how do we know this? The Tanya, because we have Rashi that says, Tarmanal Avid, Val Gavoy, Val Asid Ligvois, that when the Trumas Halishka is taken, again, when the money is taken out of the Lishka in order to be used to purchase Karbanos Sibur, that's done for Shkalm that were Avid that were lost, and for Shkalm that were collected, and they're just simply not at the Beis HaMikdash yet, they're on their way to the Beis HaMikdash, and on shekalim that will eventually be collected, meaning somebody didn't give their shekel in time, but they eventually will, when the money was taken out of the lishka, is done with intention for all these people as well, and therefore it's considered kachim she'eni chayv b'chrusin ready at that point. And even Rabbi Shimon would say that a shvua doesn't have to be made, but the Mishnah says the shvua does have to be made. Therefore, we can't say the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. Elam or Blazer, rather Rabbi Blazer says differently. Shvua zui takanas chachamim hi. The shvua that's spoken about in that Mishnah is really just takanas chachamim shloyu b'nei adam zalsal mekdeshes, so that people should not degrade ekdeshes and treat them lightly, and that's why shvua has to be made. And therefore, it's not referring to the classic case of shomer chinam or shomer sachar making a shvua. Continuing on to explain the Mishnah, we had said nosu sachar and mishalim that a shomer sachar of one of these things does not have to pay. Now the Gemara asked Rabbi Leir of Yisrael bar Chama l'Rabba. Rabbi Yisrael bar Chama asked Rabbi the following question. Tan our Mishnah says nosu sachar ain't a mishalim that a shomer sachar of one of these things does not have to pay if something happens. But Rabbi Mini will ask you a stiro. We have a brass that says someone who hires a worker lishmar sapara to watch the para aduma, so it's hektesh lishmar satinoik to watch a child who's going to be used in the process of the para aduma. We have to ensure that this child didn't become tameh, so he needs a watchman over him. Or lishmar sazraim, this person was hired to watch the seeds for the carbon omer. Ain't nasan lishchar Shabbos, he doesn't get paid for Shabbos. That's because he's getting paid per day, so he can't get paid for Shabbos. Lefikach, therefore, ain't nachar Shabbos olav, he's not responsible if something happens on Shabbos. However, hayaschir Shabbos, let's say he's a type of guy that's hired per week, so he's not paid per day, he's paid per week. Or schir chaydesh, he's hired per month. Or schir shon, he's hired per year. Schir shavua, he's hired for 7 years. Nasan lishchar Shabbos, he does get paid for Shabbos. Lefikach, therefore, achar Shabbos olav, he's responsible if something happens on Shabbos. Now, my lav, doesn't that mean lishalim that he has to pay if something happens on Shabbos? So we see there shomer sachar of Hektish does have to pay. Question from his Braisa. So Rabbi answered, Loi, that's not true. Lahafsid Schare, it just means that he's going to lose his schar, but not that he has to pay. However, Rabbi Yisrael Bar Chama continued asking Rabba, Yachi, if that's so, Reisha, what about the Reisha of this Braisa, Yiktani, that says, Ein Achrai Shabbos Olav, that he does not have a Chrai for Shabbos if something happens? Hachinam, Lahafsid Schare, do you want to say that that part of the Braisa is talking about that he's going to lose his schar if something happens? Well, Miyaslai Schar Shabbos, in that part of the Braisa, is he even getting paid for Shabbos? Vakhtani, Ein Nasalai Schar Shabbos. The Reisha of the Braisa says he's not getting paid for Shabbos. So how could you explain Ein Achrai Shabbos Olav to mean that he doesn't get paid? We already said he's not getting paid. It must be that we're talking about the shomer being responsible. And because of this question, Ishtik, Rabba was quiet. He didn't have an answer. And then Amar Le, Rabba asked Rav Yisrael Bar Chama, Midishmi Lachabaha, did you hear anything about this? You're asking me a great question. Do you have an answer? So Amar Le, Rav Yisrael Bar Chama told him, Hachem Rav Shesha, this Rav Shesha said, B'shakanu miyadai, the shomer made a kinyan. In other words, he obligated himself to pay, even though in a standard case, a shomer sachar over hektish does not have to pay if something happens. In this particular situation, we're talking about where the shomer made a kinyan, committing himself to pay if something happened. Rabbi Yochanan also said, where he made his kinyan, which is a commitment that he's going to pay if something happens. In other words, this Bryce is a unique situation, but in a standard case, a shomer sachar over hektish does not have to pay if something happens. Continuing on to explain the Mishnah, we said Rabbi Shimon says, kachim shchai b'chirusan yesh lan ayna, kachim the ones responsible for. There is a din of ayna, she'en chai b'chirusan, if he's not responsible for them, in lan ayna, there is no din of ayna. Now let's just remind ourselves what the difference between kachim Chai b'chirusan and ein chai b'chirusan is. So if a person says, Hare olai karbon, I take upon myself to bring a karbon, and then he designates an animal to be used for that karbon, that's something that he's chayv nisachrayas. Even if something happens to that animal they designated, it got lost or stolen or became possible to be used as a karbon, he has to designate a new one, because he said, Hare olai, I take upon myself to bring a karbon. Whereas let's say he said, Hare zu karbon, he points out one particular animal and he designates that one as a karbon. Again, he didn't say, Hare olai, I take upon myself. He said, Hare zu, this animal's a karbon, that's kachim. He's not responsible for it because the chiyuv is not on him, it's on this animal. And therefore, if something happens to the animal, he doesn't have to designate a new one. So we have a brass that explains what Rav Shimon is saying. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, a teacher of brass is taught in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba. The following brass says, Kachim Shchai Bachriyusan, when we're dealing with Kachim that he's chayiv for, chayiv he's chayiv for carbon shvua, shani karbahen b'Hashem v'kichesh, because I apply this pasuk to him. V'she'eni chayiv bachriyusan, but if he's not chayiv, Potter, he's potter from a carbon shvua, shani karban b'misa v'kichesh, because I apply this pasuk to it. Now, what's this referring to? So the first part of the brass is talking about kachim shechai b'chirusan, and that would be Reuven saying hare olai karbon. He designated an animal to be used, then he deposited it by Shimon to watch, and then Shimon denied having it and swore falsely to that extent. The brass is telling us that Shimon is chayv a carbon shvua for this false shvua because we apply the pasuk of b'hashem v'kichesh. The pasuk tells us nefesh kisechta umal amal b'hashem v'kichesh b'misoi b'bikadain, so on and so forth. And the key over here that we're understanding right now, at least in the Havamina, is that umal amal b'hashem v'kichesh. If a person is over me'ila in a Hashem, and he denies. And over here, since we're talking about Kachem Shechai Bachar Yuson, that's considered a Me'ila in Hashem, and the Shemer denied, so he has to bring a carbon Shvuah. However, the Sefer of the Brisa says Kachem She'enei Chai Bachar Yuson, he's going to be potter from this carbon, is because it's not a Me'ila in Hashem, it's a Me'ila Ba'amisai in his friend, and therefore he doesn't have to bring a carbon Shvuah. Darma Leir, Yitzchak Bar Alba asks this one who told him this Brisa, Klape Layo, in which direction is this Brisa going? The opposite makes sense. When we're dealing with Kachem Shechai Bachar Yuson, since he still has responsibility for it, it's not necessarily considered Umal Amal Ba'Hashem. It would make sense to say that when we're dealing with Kachem She'enei Chai Bachar Yuson, he's not responsible for it anymore because considered 100% Hashem's, so that would be Umal Amal Ba'Hashem. So the opposite makes sense. So I'm related to the teacher of Brises, asked Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba, Isamye, should I erase it from my list of Brises? I'm related told him, like, don't do so. Hachikamar, this is related to Brises saying, Kachem Chai Bachar Yuson, when we're dealing with Kachem that the owner is responsible for, Chayv is Chayv a carbon shua for this, because it's included in the Pasuk of Hashem Vekichesh. We're going to explain this in a moment. V'she'enei Chayv Bachar Yuson, if he's not responsible for it, Potter, he's Potter from a carbon shua, the emet mimamisa Vekichesh, because it's excluded from this Pasuk. In other words, it's the opposite. The Pasuk is telling us that a carbon is brought for a false shvuah regarding something belonging to a misai, to a regular person, and not to Hekdesh. However, if it belongs to Hekdesh, but a misai has responsibility for it, namely Kachim Shechai Bachar Yuson, there too the Shemer would bring a carbon. But not if it's Kachim She'en Chai Bachar Yuson, because that's not considered being owned by a misai whatsoever, it's only considered belonging to Hekdesh, and therefore carbon shvuah is not going to be brought. And explaining the last part of the Mishnah, we had said Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Mechasev Retire Margolis, Ubehema, Inlan Aina, also someone who sells a Sefer Torah, a precious stone, or an animal, there's no din of Aina there. And Tanya Vibrasa, it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tells us, Afa Mechasev Retire, Inlan Aina, if someone sells a Sefer Torah, there's no issue of Aina, Lefisha Ain Ketzel Demel, because there's no set to its value. A Sefer Torah is priceless, and Behema Margolis, Inlan Aina, when selling an animal and a precious stone, there's no Aina either, Mnesha Adam Retzel Zavgun, because a person wants to pair them with the ones that he already has. If he has a very strong ox and he sees a strong ox for sale, so he's willing to pay just about any price for that strong ox because he needs to pair it with his. He doesn't want to buy a weak ox because that's going to weaken his strong ox. And the same thing with a precious stone. It's nicer when he has two precious stones and not one. He can make a nice pair of earrings out of it or set them in a ring and it will be beautiful. And therefore, he's willing to overpay for a precious stone. So Amar Leih asked him, Aleha kol adam ratzel zavgan. A person always wants to match and pair something that he has. If he has something good, he wants to buy something good just like it. So what does that mean? That it's only these two things a person wants to pair? And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda. He would respond as follows, Hani chashivile. These are very chashiv to him. Bahani le chashivile. Other things are not so chashiv. An animal for plowing is very important to have a perfect match, and a precious stone as well. But other things aren't so important. Ask the Gemara of Ad Kama, until how much is a person willing to overpay for these things? Omar Memer, he says, Ad Kedei Demayim, up until their value. In other words, a person will pay double the value of this thing, but not more than that. More than that would be considered Aina. And Tanya Bevabras, Rabbi Yehuda Mesir Aimer, he tells us, even one that sells a horse, a sword, or a shield during war, Ein Lamayna, there's no din of Aina, because that affects the very life of a person. During a war, a person needs these things, and therefore there's no din of Aina. And moving on to another Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us, Shem Shaina b'Mekach Memker, just like there's Aina b'Mekach Memker, Kach Aina b'Dvarim, there's also Aina b'Dvarim. Now, up until now, we've been understanding that the word Aina means a mistaken pricing, but really it means a wrongdoing or an affliction of sorts. Namely, when the Pasuk says, Al Tainu, it would be translated as, don't afflict or don't wrong your fellow. So the same way that there's an issue of wronging when we're dealing with business, there's also an issue of wronging with words. Here's an example, Lo Yamerlai, a person shouldn't tell another guy who has a store he's selling something, how much does this item cost? How much are you selling it for? And he doesn't really want to buy it. He's just asking him the price. That's considered Aina. Furthermore, I'm Hubal Tshuva. Let's say we have a fellow. He's a Baal Tshuva. He used to do Averis. Now he doesn't do them anymore. He did Tshuva. Lo Yamer Lo, a person shouldn't tell him, remember your original deeds. That's considered Aina's Devarim. And Imu Ben Gerim, if this person descends from Gerim, Lo Yamer Lo, shouldn't tell him, remember the deeds of your forefathers. They were Gayim. Because the Pasuk says, and all these are examples of Aina's Devarim, of afflicting a person with words, insulting a person, harming them, hurting them, or something like that. The Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, one man should not afflict or wrong his fellow. The Pasuk is talking about Aina's Devarim. The Pasuk continues, you're saying this Pasuk is referring to Aina's Devarim. Maybe it's talking about Aina's Mamain, meaning when you're doing business with him, don't cheat him. Maybe that's what it's referring to. So we say no, because when the Pasuk says, that Pasuk is clearly talking about Aina's Mamain. So how do I understand the Pasuk of Aina's Devarim is talking about afflicting a person with words? Hakeitzad, what's an example of this? So here we have a number of examples. Imai Baal Tshuva, if the fellow is Baal Tshuva, Al Yermalai, don't tell him, Zuchar Masecha Rishayim, remember the original things that you used to do, that's Aina's Devarim. And Imai Ben Gerim, if he's descendant of Gerim, Al Yermalai, one shouldn't tell him, Zuchar Masecha Vasecha, remember the deeds of your forefathers, that's Aina's Devarim. And Imai Ger, if he himself was a Ger, Ubalu Mai Tyra, and he's coming to learn Tyra, Al Yermalai, don't tell him, Pesha Achal and Veos, Trevis, Shkatsim, Ramasim, Balu Mai Tyra, Shanera, Piagvura, a mouth that ate, and Veos, and Trevis, and Shkatsim, Ramasim, all these terrible things you're not allowed to eat, that that mouth is coming to learn Torah that was given over from Hashem. If you say that, that's a nas devarim. And imahayu yisurim ban olav. If a person has suffering coming on him, imahayu chalayim ban olav. If he has sickness coming on him, aishayim makaber as banav, or he's sadly burying his children. Al yom lekederach sh'amrulay chaveriv liyayv. Don't say the same thing to him that Eiv's friends told him. What do they say to him? Halay yirascha. Couldn't your fear of Hashem, kislo secha, have given you confidence, tikvascha, hope, v'sam drachecha, and integrity of your ways? And here's the key: is zachar na mihu naki avad. Do you know anyone innocent, lost without a trace? Meaning you've never seen anyone innocent be completely destroyed. And if you have yisurim and all these terrible things happening to you, it must be that you're not innocent. You probably have some sort of wrongdoing. That's considered a nas devarim. Don't tell a person that. It's not constructive. It's not going to help him. Furthermore, amhayu chamarim vakshim tevuah imenu. If donkey drivers are asking a person where they can get tevuah so they could transport it, lo yamar lahem, you shouldn't tell them. L'chuetz alplani, go to that guy. Shuhu maicha tevuah. He sells grain. Via de'abay shaloy machama elam, and he knows that those people never sold grain. That's considered a nas devarim to these donkey drivers. And Rabbi Yehuda, says, afla yisla ein val mekach. He shouldn't even look at an item for sale b'shasha ein loy damim if he doesn't have any money to buy it. Now, where do we know all this from? Sharei adavar masar olev, because this is something that's given over to a person's heart. In other words, only the person himself knows what his intention was. B'chol davar masar olev, narubay v'yireisim aleikecha. Anytime we're dealing with something that's masar olev, it's all tali on a person's intentions. It says in the pasuk v'yireisim aleikecha, fear Hashem your God, because Hashem knows what your intention is. Maybe outwardly you'll be able to explain yourself. No, I really thought that guy did sell grain. No, I really wanted to buy this item or any of these different things. Why you said it or why you did it, you might be able to explain yourself. But if you knew that you were doing it to ma'ana him and to insult the fellow, so then Hashem knows. That's why the pasuk says very similar like hecha. And Amar Yechon Mishum Rishim Yechai. Yechon says near Rishim Yechai. Gadol Anas Dvarim Anas Mamain. Anas Dvarim is worse than Anas Mamain. Shazen Amar Bav Yeres Malik Hecha, because Anas Dvarim says very similar like hecha. Vezel Loin Amar Bav Yeres Malik Hecha. And Anas Mamain, dishonesty in business, does not say very similar like hecha. Rebbe Lazar Amir Blazer says Zeb Gufa Vezeb Mainai. One is against a person's body. One's against a person's Mamain. In other words, when you're dishonest in business, okay, so the person lost a little bit of money. Not such a big deal. But when we're dealing with Anas Dvarim, the person was emotionally insulted, that's against his guf, and that's far worse. And Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, he says, Zeh nitan li shavayin, zeh lo nitan li shavayin. One is able to be returned, and one is not able to be returned. When a person is cheated monetarily, so we could always make that up. He could just return the money. When a person is emotionally harmed, there's not much we could do about that. And Tanya Tana Kamed Rav Nachman Yitzchak, a brass of Tanfar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kal Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim, anyone who embarrasses his friend in public, Ki ilu shefach damim, it's as if he spilled blood, it's as if he killed him. And Amar Levi Nachman Yitzchak told his teacher of Braises, Shaper Ka Amrit, what you're saying is good. We see that when a person's embarrassed, the redness, the blood drains from his face and it becomes white. So it's as if he's spilling blood. And Amar Levi Bailer Avdimi, Abai asked Avdimi, Marava Maizahiri, in Eretz Yisrael, what are they careful with? Amar Levi told him, Ba'achri Api, with turning people's faces white, meaning they're very careful not to embarrass other people. Damar Chanina Chanina says, Akal Yardam Legehenim, Chotz Mishlaisha. Everyone goes to Gehenim except for three people. So we right away ask on that. Hakal Sakadaitach, you really think that everybody goes to Gehenim? How could that be? El rather, emo, we mean to say, is called hayardim legehenim, of all those people that do go to Gehenim, oilim, everyone comes up. Chotz mishlash yardim, ve'ein oilin, except for three people that go to Gehenim, and they don't come out. Ve'eluhain, these are them, habala eshes esh, someone who lives with a married woman, v'amal b'nei chaveir barabim, and one who insults his fellow in public, v'amachana shem ra l'chaveiroi, and one who calls his friend an insulting nickname. As gemara machana, hainu malbin, calling somebody an insulting nickname is the same thing as embarrassing them in public. What's the difference? The answer is, afagav dash be'bishmei, even though this became part of his name, meaning this insulting nickname was used so often, it became so normal, everyone would call him this nickname. This is still a terrible thing. If someone's calling him this nickname in order to embarrass him, this is somebody who's going to go to Gehenim and not come out. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to talk about embarrassing people. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.